You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Footer, and I'm here with my friend Steve Gilbert to talk about all things Diamondbacks as spring training approaches. And Steve, we actually have some news to talk about, which is very exciting. Torey Lovello gets a contract extension. I like the timing of this. I like the fact that it's a significant extension. He's really done some good things since he joined the Diamondbacks as their manager. And, you know, what have your experiences been with him since you've been covering him?
Yeah, Allison, I think that, you know, this was one of those things where you knew he was entering the final year of his contract. You knew that he'd done a good job. I mean, you just look at the first 2 years he made the playoffs with this team in 2017. Last year, they finished with an above 500 record, 82-80. That's, by the way, just for a little tidbit there, that's the first time they've had back-to-back winning seasons since 01 and 02, or 02 and 03, excuse me. So, you knew that it was and he has such a good relationship with the front office, general manager Mike Hazen, that you knew that an extension was likely. It was just a matter of when it was going to happen. And, you know, they got it out of the way before spring training. They tacked on 2 more years to his contract. So he's under contract the next 3 years. And, you know, even if they go through, you know, we've talked a number of times about how they're kind of retooling rather than rebuilding. But if they should decide to do more of a full-scale rebuild, Torey's is a little more secure because he's got, you know, 3 years on his deal. And so I'm sure that's a good thing too.
Yeah. As an outsider, kind of observing this organization, I did cover the Diamondbacks when they came through Houston last September. It was in the midst of what ended up being a disastrous month for the Diamondbacks, where they dropped out of contention. They only won a few games the entire month. So I was kind of covering the team when it was in the process of happening, but there was still enough time to look back and, you know, to not realize like that it was actually going to get worse a little bit before it was going to get better. And the one thing about Torey was that, he was so even keeled. He spoke very eloquently with the media after one of the tougher losses that was due to, you know, defensive lapses I got a sense of his demeanor. That probably was very effective over the course of a season. And I guess that's one of his big selling points, right? Is that he's a pretty even-keeled guy.
Yeah, I think one of his strengths too is being able to communicate with the team. Right when he took over, he made it a point to have guys in his office during spring training just to kind of get to know them. And not just them, but their families as well. You know, he knows everybody's story and he's always interested in listening. You watch him during batting practice and he walks around the outfield and stops and talks with the different groups of guys that are out there. And for instance, while he might not be a hunter or a fisherman, when he's out there talking with Zach Godley and Andrew Chafin, he listens to their stories about hunting and fishing and is kind of fascinated by their passion for it. And, you know, so he reaches guys at where they're at, their own level, their own interests. And I think they really appreciate that. And I think that kind of communication, certainly in the game today, seems to be what everyone is looking for when it comes to managers, more so than particular game strategy, because of the analytics and because of you can always have a bench coach and some help with some of that other stuff. I think what really separates managers is their ability to communicate and get a group of guys to play together.
One of my favorite, most random factoids I actually obtained from, I think it was a Father's Day story that you'd read about Torey. He's the son of a producer of Hee Haw. Do I have that right?
Yes. His father, Sam, was the producer of Hee Haw. And so, you know, he grew up with Roy Clark and a lot of those, you know, famous country performers. And so, you know, he tells a story that, you know, he didn't really realize. I mean, these were just his uncles in a sense, you know, and he would go there during the summer and hang out in Nashville and just kind of play cards with them. And it wasn't until, you know, a teacher asked him, you know, how did you spend your summer? And he got up in front of the class to talk about, you know, he went and played cards with so-and-so and did such and such that they were like, oh my God, these people are famous. And, you know, that never really registered to him until he said a teacher pointed it out to him.
How I spent my summer. I played shuffleboard with Minnie Pearl. get much better than that. Okay, we'll move it back toward let's talk about a little more about the roster now. The Diamondbacks signed Greg Holland to a 1-year deal. It seems to be pretty a pretty good deal. A 1-year, $3.5 million plus a chance to earn bonuses. Holland was really bad for the Cardinals last year and really good for the Nationals. So what are the Diamondbacks going to get?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, you looked at, he was one of those guys that signed late last year. So when he signed late with the Cardinals, some of those guys just really struggled. And that was not, you know, maybe the best thing for some of those guys. So now we'll have a full spring training. I think they're kind of counting on him being more the good Greg Holland, certainly, than the one that struggled. And he gives them another option at the back end of the bullpen. And we talked several times about how they said they wanted to add another bullpen piece. And they also talked about, you know, yeah, Archie Bradley might be the closer. Maybe he's not going to be the closer. We'll see. And one of the reasons was they left that open was so that they, you know, in case they inquire somebody that has closer experience, they can offer them a chance to, you know, win the closer's role possibly during spring training. So it'll be really interesting now to see what they announce this deal once it becomes official. You know, what they say they want to do with the closer's role. Will it be like kind of a competition during spring training, or will it be Archie Bradley initially?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how many teams actually name closers, the ones that kind of had the question marks, and the way that we're seeing matchups taking over more than actual assigned roles. So so that'll be something to keep our eye on. And let's conclude our conversation, Steve, with we'd like to kind of spotlight a different player every week going into spring training, someone that the fans know, but that might have an interesting storyline to go along with him. So Socrates Brito might be a guy to watch. Tell us what might be interesting about him this spring.
Well, the first thing is his name. That's, I mean, he's my, he's my favorite player in all time in baseball, because I think the name Socrates is just so cool. But, you know, he's a guy that has been one of their top prospects. He's had some injury issues. Last spring training, he was having a good spring training, slid into home plate and dislocated, I believe it was his thumb, I want to say, or his pinky finger, one of the two. And it was really an ugly, ugly injury. But he's somebody that could see some time in center field. He's out of minor league options, so he's the guy they're going to give a chance to win a spot on the roster for sure. And, you know, with Ketel Marte moving out there, Brito does have the speed to play center field. You know, can he hit at the major league level? That's the one thing we haven't seen yet from him. He can hit certainly in the minor leagues, and he just really hasn't gotten an extended look because of who they've had out there. We know their outfield's been kind of crowded in recent years, and also because of injuries. So kind of interesting guy just to keep an eye on during spring training, see first off, does he make the team? And if he does, how much playing time he gets.
Yeah, always interesting to keep an eye on the Diamondbacks. Thank you, Steve, for joining us. Thanks to everybody for listening to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. We will catch up with you next week.